you got your Bible, go ahead and turn to Hebrews chapter 11. And while you're turning over there, I want to thank you for being here. That could be a mistake on your part, that you either weren't here Sunday or were not paying attention. Because if you were here and paying attention, you might not have been here now. Some of you are laughing because you understand. I always appreciate the opportunity of being with you. Enjoy it so much and feel a warm relationship with you guys here at North A. And I'm grateful for you and grateful for you being here tonight. I love what you're doing. And I think it's becoming more and more necessary. I don't know if you've thought about it in this way, but if you do something over and over and over, but you forget why you're doing it, it really makes a difference. How many of you have ever walked into a room, you find your hand on the light switch, and you can't remember if you came to turn it on and go do something, or if you just turned it off and where you're going next? Anybody had that experience? You ever walk to the refrigerator and you open it up, you stand there for a second and you say, did I just put something in or did I come here to get something out? You go to Walmart for one thing. This, by the way, if you think you've ever gone to Walmart for just one thing, is a sure sign of self-deception. Amen and oh me. But you go for one thing and you walk up and down nearly every aisle. And when you are through, you walk out, you get home, and then you realize the one thing you came for out of the 15 bags and hundreds of dollars you spent, the one thing you came for is the one thing you forgot. You did all those. You walked into a room and you forgot why you walked into it. You opened up the refrigerator and you forgot why you did it. You went to the store, you shopped, and you got all the way home, but somewhere in there you forgot why you did what you did. You think we ever do that as believers in God? We ever do that as a church? Have you ever gathered around the table? And you broke the bread, you drank the wine, and did not commune with the Lord because you forgot what you were doing and why you were doing it. Have you ever sang the songs? Bowed your head in prayer, maybe someone else praying, or maybe your own prayer, but forgot why you were doing it. And it's important for us to go back and think about why we do what we do. And for us to embrace those basic things. Let me start this way. I have in my left hand a $20 bill. If you believe me, will you raise your left hand? Yeah. Okay, let me help. Some of you, I saw you. You're going, wait, which? Okay, this is left. Okay? And so, left hand. Wait, let me see one more time. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Fleming. We've known each other for more years than I can count or you can remember. You know, Greg, y'all should pray for Greg's parents. They have to put up with me every week. Except that's why they've gone on more sojournings lately. It's like we got to go somewhere else. But I'm telling you the truth. I mean, they brought me in. I will never claim to be a preacher. But a lot of people use me in place of a preacher, which means something. I don't know what it means. But they brought me here because they think, you know, he's going to tell the truth. And I am telling you the truth. I have in my left hand a $20 bill. One more time, if you believe me. And some of you skeptics, you Doubting Thomas kind of people. There we go. I got a few more converts. There we go. Amos, that's your right hand, but it'll count. Now, for those of you who are doubting, did you? Okay, could you tell me what that is? It looks like, I mean, you could feel it. You can't have it, but you just feel it. It feels like 20. How many of you now believe? No, you don't. Your Bible's open to Hebrews chapter 11, and Hebrews 11 says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not yet seen. Because the second you see it, it ceases to be faith. It's sight. Now you're saying, wait a second, Ray, he forgot He came here and he forgot why he's here. He came to talk about God the Creator. I did. And I didn't forget why. I suspect I've used that very same illustration here before. Some of you are nodding your head. I can say I have, and my wife and daughters, if they're in the room, they just go, yeah, we know. Because preachers only have three illustrations. We just recycle them over and over. You know, it's just... But they immediately... And some of you go, I remember that illustration, and I'm going to go ahead and raise my hand. And it doesn't have anything to do with whether you saw me put a 20 in my hand or not. It really doesn't have anything to do with whether you think, could that dude even have a $20 bill? The people who immediately do, it has to do with faith. When you know the one who speaks, when you trust the one who speaks, then whatever he says, you do. You believe it. You go, okay, I'll go there. Romans chapter 1, you say in Hebrews 11, but Romans chapter 1, Paul's going to say, well, I'll read it so you don't have to guess if I'm telling you exactly right or not. He says, if I can read my Bible, you know, eyesight goes away too sometimes. Now, here we go. Since what may be known about God is evident to them because God made it evident for them, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. Scripture says that you could look around and say, I don't think this just happened. And whatever you believe about things just happening or not in general, about coincidence, I choose not to believe any of that. It was neat to me. I've got this deal on Facebook. It's called Time Hop, it's memories. And so it actually went through, and today I already had everything kind of planned out. But today, I don't remember how many years ago it was, but on this very day, we were sitting at a cardiologist, and they were doing a sonogram on Sonia's heart. She had some cardiology problems. And they had this new, I've never seen it before. It may not be brand new, but it was the first time I'd seen it 5 or 6 years ago, where when they're doing the sonogram, it could have color, and the blood that was coming back from the body, that the oxygen had been depleted. I don't remember which one was red and which one was blue, but one of them would be red, and then when it came from one chamber of the heart to the other, it would be blue, and then you could see it going out. And I was just sitting there going, that's incredible. I mean, how smart would you have to be to say, pitch me that water bottle, man. I mean, it looks something like this. Let's just squirt a little stuff on somebody. And then you got this little instrument that's hooked up, and you push it against them. And you can get right here, and you can see the heart, all the chambers, all the valves, the arteries. And you can even see blood that's coming in being one color. And when it was oxygenated, she has a mitral valve prolapse. And so when that bottom chamber, I think it is, would contract, some of that oxygenated blood would go back to the other chamber. You could see that blood actually going back and forth. And I thought, you would have to be incredibly brilliant to figure out how to do that. Would you agree? I mean, those doctors, those technician kind of people, had to be incredibly smart to design that. And then the thought hit me. How many of the people that went together to create that or use it would say, that thing we're doing, we're checking, we're measuring, that's an accident. But being smart enough to figure out how to measure it, you couldn't accidentally do that. You picking up what I'm laying down? And I go, man, those guys are smart, but God? To say you're smarter just doesn't quite get there. You're in Hebrews 11. We've already done some of it. Let me bring to your mind Psalm 19:1. The heavens declare the glory of God. And part of this, I suspect you're here because you believe it, right? I mean, don't you love? I love for folks to come. I teach at Sunset in Lubbock, and we have people come from everywhere. I love for city folks to come. You know, we think around here, we think Midland, Lubbock are cities. But we have people come from, you know, millions of population, and they're like, we're in the middle of nowhere. And we say, don't you love it? And they say, no, not so much. And we say, good, that's what, never mind. But they come and they're like, wow, I just can't get over the sunsets here. I can't get over the sunrise. Did you know at night there's stars in the sky? I'm like, yeah, been looking at that all my life. But do you ever look at it and go, wow. All of that speaks volumes about our Creator. Hebrews 11:1, you're there, says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for. It's the conviction of things not yet seen. By it, the ancients were commended. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what is visible. And then jump down to verse 6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, for those who come to Him must believe that He is and that He's a rewarder of those who urgently, diligently seek Him. He says, by faith, we understand. And so we've done all this kind of saying, here we go. How can I believe God? Well, part of you just start by looking around and saying, this didn't just happen. I know that we live in a world, and I don't know that you've thought about it this way, but you step outside the doors of this building, and most of the world would say, you're naive. You're foolish. You're not intellectually honest to believe that there is a God and He created everything. And sometimes it's not just outside the walls. More and more believers, and I don't know exactly how you'll interpret my quotation marks there, more and more believers are saying, I don't know that I believe that God created the world either. That's why I think it's important for us to stop and talk about basic beliefs. Not just so you can say, I'm going to pat myself on the back, I already believe that. But so you can think about, there's good reason to believe. And I'll just tell you from the outset, there are a pack of people I could think of, a long, long, long list, who could do a lot better job with all of the evidence than I can. A lot better. But they're not here tonight, and I am. So guess what you get? I mean, I'm not even B-team. But faith says, even though I can't see it, I believe. Even though I wasn't there when it happened. How many of you saw me put a $20 bill in my hand? The only one who possibly could have was my wife. And I don't know if she saw me put it in my hand. Well, I wasn't there. I didn't see you do it. Did that change whether it was $20 in my hand or not? No. We live in a world that still says, if I wasn't there, if I can't see it, it didn't happen. I love, and it happens occasionally, not nearly often enough. But I love for people to tell me that because my first response is, shut your eyes and start running. If you have to see it for it to exist, shut your eyes and start running. That doesn't prove the point, but it does disprove their point. Right? Every bruise on the old shin and rip on the old skin and knot on the head and says, you know what? There are things that exist whether I see them or not. He says, by faith we understand that the worlds were created at His command. We believe that. Now, again, I think there are a lot of people who could do a lot better than I will here. But I want to suggest to you, I'm real simple. Okay, I want to suggest to you for this point, the A, B, C, D, E 5 points. I know it's not, see, I told you I'm not a preacher. A preacher would have 3 points in a poem. And I got 5 points in my first point. And then 3 more after that, so y'all going to be here a while. And I very rarely go places where they say, Ray, you've got 3 hours. But I appreciate you being here for that. They got the doors guarded. You can't leave. The first thing I want to suggest to you, the A is for absurd. Now, if you believe in evolution, I am not here at all to offend you. I don't intend to offend anyway. anybody in any way. But I'll just tell you, for me, I've looked at the evidence for evolution, and the only word, and it fits my ABCDE, is absurd. This little watch I have on my wrist, it's pretty cool. It's pretty thin. I bought it because until last Thursday, I was a runner. Kind of hurt myself. But this watch has GPS. I can, inside or outside, I can punch this little button here and hit this, and it will track satellites. It will, at least 5 satellites, it will coordinate them, and it will track every single step I take. And I can verify it with a map. That's pretty good. The other thing is that, and you may think that's not so good, but my cell phone, I don't even have to look at it when I get a text. It just pops up right there. Sometimes, well, let me time out. They understand that there's a guy I have coffee with pretty often. He says, "What are you looking at your watch for?" I said, "Well, my texts show up and I will see if I want to look at it or not." He says, "It happens every time you get a text?" I'm like, "Yeah." He said, "I'm going to text you right in the middle of your sermon." I said, "You don't have the guts to do that. Because if you text me in the middle of the sermon, I will respond to everybody." He's like, "Yeah, never mind." But my texts, my emails, phone calls, they all just pop up there. It even keeps time. But here's the cool part. I was walking by, we've got South Seminole Wrecking Yard, and they got, I mean, it's not just cars, they got cars and junk metal, buildings and roofing and all kinds of stuff. I was walking by one day and I saw this smoke, you know, they're burning off some rubber or plastic off, they're not supposed to, but EPA went around, and they're burning all kinds of stuff off, and all of a sudden, whoom, there's this explosion and it shook the ground and stuff's flying everywhere, and I took cover, and as I dug down, this watch just fell. And I looked at it and I said, "You know, it's got this rubber, it's plastic band, and it's got the clasp, it's got holes in it. I mean, if my arm's fatter, I can let it out. If I lose some weight, I can tighten it up. And it does all these incredible things. I mean, it does running and bicycling and swimming and golfing." I don't, but it does. It'll do walking. You can find your phone with this thing. It'll do a treadmill or a stationary bike. It'll do downhill skiing. It'll keep a record of every run you've ever done. And it just happened as a result of this explosion. I mean, all this junk just blew up, and it made accidentally this watch. It's got this glass on the top of it, and it's got these buttons on the side. And if I told you that, you would say, "You are, okay, my word, you are absurd." It's absurd to believe that something so incredible, so complex. We're going to run out of words, but I'm going to use all I can think of. I mean, so incredible, so complex, so intricate, so just keep on and on and on, would just be the result of things accidentally exploding, and it happens. That's absurd. You look at it from any level. Just a few hours ago, we got here in time to eat a salad at McAllister's. We sat down, and right across from us, maybe a couple of tables down, there was a young couple, and they had a girl who just turned 1 year old. And she was so cute. She had her hair, you know, that little deal on the top of her head. She looked at me first, and I waved at her, and she waved back. And I waved some more, and she got bored of me. She started pointing at Sonia, so I said, "Sonia, look." And she looked, and we had a good time. And in a little bit, she says, "Hi." And I noticed her mom and dad kind of reacted, but I thought, you know, maybe they've been saying, "Don't talk to strangers," and, you know, "I'm strange." And then mama says, "She's never said hi before. That's the first time she said hi." And I, you know, doing all that, and we talked about it. I said, you got to treasure this, because you'll turn around twice. And, you know, I remember hours younger than that, and they're 25 and 21 now. And I'm like, good night. But I can remember, like, the first time Sonia said, "I need to go get one of those home pregnancy tests." "Oh, yeah?" And looking at those, you know, that sonogram, that neat accident that you don't have to be very smart. See that little flutter? That's a baby's heartbeat. "Really?" And we got to see lots of sonograms, especially of our oldest one. And then I remember when she was born. Isn't that a cool accident? How a man and woman can know each other, but not every time they know each other. But when God decides, they know each other, and a baby is formed in the womb of a mother. And in the words of Psalm 139, knit together in a mother's womb. And a child is born. And people are like, well, you want a boy or a girl? And you know the answer. We don't care. I mean, what we want, a healthy baby. And they're born and you start counting those little bitty fingers and those little toes. And they got that neat. I didn't know it till we had our own kids. If you touch them right below the toes, there's this reflex and those toes will close. And you could be upset and Sonia could hold her, those kids close and start talking to them. And they knew Mama's voice. And then they grow and they develop and they change. And now they're 25 and 21. Isn't that a neat accident that humanity could exist first of all, and then that you could come together and you could have children, they could grow. And then we could talk about biology. And just every one of the ologies, the study of anything in all creation, all of it does what? It points to God. And again, I don't want to be offensive at all. But you check the details. And again, I'll give you a list of people who could give you all the stats and show you all the stuff. It's absurd to think otherwise. The second one is Bible. I think the Bible by itself says a lot. Anybody, any Star Wars fans? Or you don't have to be a fan. Anybody know how Star Wars starts? You can maybe envision it on this screen. And there'd be this scrolling stuff in a galaxy far, far, a long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. And what's all that tell you? This ain't real. You ought to read through your Bible. You're reading Isaiah. You can do it so well in Isaiah. You'll read about kings and countries and customs, about people and places. And it's not in this vacuum that nobody could check out. When Isaiah writes, the people he wrote to, they knew those kings. They knew those countries. They knew the oppression. They knew the attacks. They knew they could check it all out. And you go through, I mean, if you just took Jesus, you got places, you got government and officials. You could just go down the list of all the ways the Bible is accurate historically. You can read other history, and it confirms, or the Bible confirms it. Geographically, astronomically, how many times have they said, you know what, those stars aren't just flung up there. There are these constellations and the Bear and the Orion. And you go, hey, I read about that once. About the sun, the moon, and the stars. Think about it socially. You ever read your Bible and go, those people act just like us? In fact, we were just talking about it a while ago, weren't we? You start reading about in the last days, and you go, that was written 2,000 years ago, and it sounds like 2017. You just keep checking it out. Biologically, economically, the Bible itself, it's not written in a far, far off, a long time ago. It's written in time and space with people and all of that. Here's maybe the best one, the Christ. You know anybody who likes to predict the future? Okay, we'll do it this way because we're like, no, we don't believe in that. Okay, you ever find yourself standing in line waiting to check out and, you know, you're not supposed to look over at those National Enquirer and all those magazines that are lying in the place. But when you see them and it says, what was it a few years ago? December the 12th, 2012. I don't remember what the date was. When the Mayans said, this is it. That's going to be the end of the world. Y'all remember what I'm talking about? How many of you are like, oh, I didn't know it would be this soon. Anybody take it serious? You get some guy on TV and he says, June the 8th, 2017, the world's coming to an end. And you're like, yeah, right. People predict the future and you go, Man, at best you're guessing. You should be a weatherman because they guess and are always wrong. Only time they hit it right is when they say the wind's going to blow. Amen and oh me. But they miss it all the time. Do it sometime. Look at all the prophecies regarding Messiah, the Christ, the anointed, promised one. And they're of all kinds of things. And all of them came true in Jesus the Christ. We're going to go faster because I'm out of time. What time do we finish? Do I need to be done by 8? Okay. Design. Design is the D. You ever wonder why Noah didn't swat the mosquito? I mean, that would have been nice, wouldn't it? Just, hey, dude, 2 swats and ain't no Zika virus and, you know, get the ticks so we don't have to worry about Lyme disease. That, come on. I had some blood drawn yesterday, and I'm the biggest sissy ever. And so she starts messing with both my veins, and she's like, pump your fist. And so then she goes and gets the deal to draw blood that they use on infants. I mean, it's a minuscule, I mean, the tiniest needle possible. It can still have something. And she penetrated the skin and drew blood out. It's pretty smart, wasn't it? And if you ever get a shot and they take this little bitty thin needle and it can penetrate the skin and inject something, come out and you don't even bleed. I wonder where somebody got the idea from that, to do that. But God made a mosquito a long time before any doctor made a needle. No, really. Really. And you just start talking about the design of creation. Everything. I mean, what a neat accident that you and I, we exhale what? Carbon dioxide. And we inhale oxygen. Now, those trees that we don't have many of, but we got just enough. And the grass and the plants, what do they take in? Carbon dioxide. And what do they put out? Oxygen. Isn't that neat? I mean, what a cool accident that works that way. And you just keep going, and you can see the design, the fingerprints of God, planning and doing. You just, again, you think about the human body. Wow. And then the last one, of those, not of all of them, are the evidences. Both biblical apologetics is the term. And there's biblical apologetics, and then there's just apologetics of the world. Dr. Kirk Martin at Lubbock Christian University, who's also an elder at Sunset, my daughter just had him for biology. And he can go through all the science, and you just like, well, my wife's also a science teacher, and she's like, yeah, I need you to come teach at my school. And it's really, if you ever have a chance, go listen to him. C.L. Thomas, who's one of our instructors at Sunset, incredible apologist, and he can use the Bible and all kinds of history, but the evidences are all there. He says, by faith we understand that God created, and you know how He did it. You just quoted it and read it along. You know Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, if you were living on this deserted island, and all of a sudden, this book just drops in. You open it up, and you read that. And you never knew anything about anything. So you don't know if this is true or not, but you just start reading. And it says, in the beginning, and you stop and go, wait a second. If this book is true, then everything I know had a beginning. It hasn't always been here. And that's important for us to know. We sometimes forget this. This is why the basic facts are important. We act like sometimes we think we're going to live here forever. I get to talk to teenagers still. I don't know why they let an old gray-headed dude talk to teenagers. You know, I used to think I could identify with them, and now I'm, you know, they're sagging and my belly makes my pants sag, and they've got a strut, and since I hurt my leg, I kind of walk funny. But I get to talk to these teenagers, and sometimes I start talking to them about some stuff that I feel like nobody else is talking to them about, and they don't really want to hear, but I just feel this obligation, responsibility to tell them some stuff. And the challenge is, they look at me and say, yeah, I believe that happens to everybody but me. I'm hobbling because I did something I knew better than to do. I knew there was a danger in it, but I'd done it before and got away with it. And before I hit the ground, I played Superman off a motorcycle. The launch was really good. The landing, I hadn't figured out very well yet. And before I hit the ground, I said to myself, Ray Young, you know better than that. You ever done it? Why do we do it? Because we think it won't happen to me. And we think, I got all the time in the world. This, everything we know, had a beginning and it will have an end. But when there was a beginning, there was already one there. In the beginning, God. And the Hebrew word is Elohim. El is God, and Elohim points to Creator. God creates. We talk about creating stuff, but no one else creates, because create talks about making something from nothing. And I'm impressed. I hope I made it clear. I'm impressed by the technology and the doctors and the sciences and the stuff they can do. It's amazing. I mean, you know, they can do a heart transplant, and lung transplant, kidney transplant, eye transplant. Somebody said, Ray, you need to volunteer for a brain transplant, but nobody's been willing to donate one yet. But, I mean, they go through the whole thing, and it's amazing. It's amazing what scientists and doctors can do. But they all have to start with something. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and the Spirit of God is hovering over the deep. And God said, and I know the translation said, let there be light, but what he literally said was, light be. Can you even imagine? How many of you ever got to go to the Carlsbad Caverns when they would literally turn the light off? You remember that darkness? That darkness that you could feel pushing in on you, and you could put your hand in, you know, I know my hand's in front of my face, but only because I could feel it connected. If I touch, I could. But you couldn't even see it. And you're afraid to take utter darkness. And I don't know much Hebrew, but the chaos, formless and void, is tohu wabohu. And I just like to say that. But it's tohu wabohu in the Spirit. And God says, light be! And it just... there's light everywhere. There's something else you learn about God there. God looked at what he made at the end of the first day and he said, it is good. And you learn something about God who creates. He creates good. And you wouldn't know it till later as you're reading this book. But a good tree produces good fruit. And a bad tree produces bad fruit. And so when God looks at what he makes and he says, it's good, what do you know about him? He's good. He says, all right, water. Separates waters above and waters below water and dry ground. And did he move? He just speaks and it happens. His word's powerful. You're here because you believe that's true. Amen? This is just a little, we're parking the bus for just a second. You believe the word of God's powerful. Amen? Do you believe it's powerful enough to read it? He speaks, and it happens. You know, I need something to govern the day. Sun. We think the light comes from the sun, but the light existed before the sun. Let's have a moon and the stars too. Birds in the air and fish in the sea, and he looked at it and he said, it's good. Vegetation, animals. And then he fashions with his hands, he fashions Adam. And he breathes into him the breath of life. And Adam became a living soul. And then God looked at it and he said, "Oh, not yet." When there's just Adam, he looks at it and he says, "It's not good that man would be alone." So he puts Adam in a deep sleep. I'm kind of guessing that wasn't too hard. Because I know me and I know some of you guys, you get still for about half a second. I mean, I appreciate it because most of you stayed awake the whole time. A few of you have been, y'all thought, he'll think I'm amen. And I know you're dozing off. But Adam gets still for about a nanosecond. No, he puts him in a deep sleep. And takes from his side a rib. Now, that's real stuff, guys. I used to always picture that rib like when I get done at KD's. I mean, it looks like it's been bleached. There ain't never been anything on that bone. It's a real rib. He rips a rib from Adam's side and he fashions woman. And then he wakes Adam up. And I'm reading into the story, but I'm trying. I figure he says, "Adam, wake up." And Adam probably rolled over and grunted a little bit. "Adam, wake up." And y'all know, he said, "Whoa, man." And that's how you got woman. "Whoa, man. Bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She'll be called woman. She's taken from my side." And then he does something weird at the end of Genesis 2. "For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two will become one flesh." And you're going, "I thought you just made them." He did, but he already, when he made them, he had us in mind. Everybody comes after, and he's saying, "This is the way it's going to be." And you just keep turning the pages, and you see this God who creates. And then you come all the way to John chapter 1. And we're really almost done. And John lines up. I hated baseball, I think, because my parents made me play. I know I just lost some of you. Like, I don't think you could be a Christian. Baptize that guy again, because you can't go to heaven and hate baseball. I don't. Okay, see, I might be real close to hating it, but I never had anybody do it. But y'all know what a curveball is? Old pitcher throws that ball and it looks like it's coming right down. And you can see the batter. He's like, "I'm fixing to put this one out of the park." And then right at the last second, and he swings and misses. And that's what the Apostle John, by inspiration of the Spirit, does in John 1. In the beginning, and you expect him to say, "God." And he says, "In the beginning was the Word." Just time out there for a second. We can do all this participation for like 2 minutes. If you were going to describe Jesus, how would you describe him? What one word description would you use? Okay, word. I agree, but if John had not written his gospel, my suggestion would be no one would ever say word. No, I'm serious. I don't think anybody would ever say that. We would say, in the beginning, Jesus is Messiah. Jesus is Jesus. Yahweh, Jehovah saves. Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Savior. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the great prophet. Jesus is a miracle worker. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the life. Jesus is the door. Jesus is the good shepherd. Jesus is I'm the vine. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Jesus is, and John says, no, let me tell you. Jesus is the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being by Him. And apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. Several points there, and we will be done. I want to encourage you with the Word, with this Word, to be a really good reader. And here's several things I mean by that. You ever read your Bible and you sound like Charlie Brown's teacher? Wah, 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 wah. Okay, I'll confess now. I don't know if we're doing it. Are we doing an invitation? Okay, next time you have an invitation, you can come forward and you can confess. I'm not a very nice guy. I had a lady tell me once, you know, when I'm having a hard time going to sleep, I read my Bible. And before this happens often. Before I could think, I said, you ought to learn to read then. I shouldn't have said it that way, but the point was still true. If you read your Bible in your life, boy, that's pretty good. That's better than any sleep aid. You ought to really learn to read. You ought to remember when you open this up, this is the Word of God. I've illustrated it this way. When my phone rings, sometimes I'll see that name come up and I'm like, and I got this little button over here. If you punch it once, it quits ringing. If you punch it twice, it sends them to voicemail. Because I'm like, I'm not talking to you right now. I told you, I'm not very nice. Sometimes if you leave a voicemail, I'll listen to it, or sometimes I'll just delete it. If you call me right back, I block your number. No, I'm kidding. Sort of. There are some people that call me, and I've literally like been in the middle of a sermon and answered the call. So y'all hold on a second. Hello? And y'all are like, no, you didn't. Yeah, I did. You know what that tells you? The person must have been really important. And what I thought she was calling about must have been really important. If you thought God could use a cell phone and your caller ID popped up, God, when you picked your phone up, what would you do? Would you answer it? And how would you? Hello? Yeah. Well, you're God. You knew that was me. Yes, this is Ray. Yes, sir, whatever you want. And you ever listening, either on a phone or talking to somebody, you hear the words, but you're not really listening? Somebody says, hi, my name. And you're like, good to meet you, friend. And it's great being at church because they say, good to meet you, brother. Nice to meet you, sister. And you don't have a clue. Why? Because you're not listening. Hello? If God called you, your morning sacrifice along with it, how would you listen? Did God reveal Himself to us? Aren't you grateful that God revealed Himself to us so we can know Him and love Him, live for Him and with Him forever? God bless. Thanks.